we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. Hit that button right down there. So once again, coming off another winning show here on Before You Bet. So we're going to try to bring that winning energy into today. I wasn't planning on wearing the Dolphins gear here, but the boys dropped 70 on the Broncos yesterday. That's not easy to do in Madden on easy mode, but the boys pulled it off. So I'll dine out on that for a couple of days here. That is enough Dolphins talk, though, because we got a lot to get into here. A Monday Night Football doubleheader. We're going to kick around a couple topics as far as the NFL relates. Then in the second half of the show, Brad Powers will be here with his best bets for college football. So let's bring in my first guest of the day, Jason Logan, my coworker here at Covers. We call him J-Lo around here. J-Lo, before we get into the picks, let me throw this at you. I have what might be kind of an unpopular opinion. I do have a lot of unpopular opinions, but I don't like the Monday Night Football doubleheader, especially how the games overlap a little bit. Like, we just got completely blasted with games on Sunday. I do have two TVs down here. You know, it's chaos. You have red zone on one, a game on the other. I like the standalone games. You sit there, you listen to the commentary, you can take it in. What do you think? Are you with me or against me on that one?
Yeah, I think it takes some of the shine off of Monday Night Football. And especially with it, the overlap, you want to do a little double shot here. Bring back the I like the Saturday games every once in a while. The Saturday evening,
late season nice. Saturday.
I like those, but more than anything, it just kind of slows down my process, because like the second the games start basically for whatever week we're in, I start working on next week's stuff. So I'm waiting for the odds to come out for the next week.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to update my power ratings. And when you have four teams playing on a Monday night, I'm stuck in mud with those four teams and I can't, you know, I'm still waiting for a lot of things to come down. I'm behind, puts me behind schedule. So, you know, so a little Saturday night action would be good.
Yeah, so not very convenient from a content creation standpoint. No. A bit of a peek behind the curtain there from a couple of the Covers boys here. So, okay, J-Lo, enough small talk. We have five total picks for the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Let's get right into that action. I'm going to hit leadoff for us, and I'm going to start by taking the Eagles to cover the first quarter spread, coming in at minus a half a point. Plus 105 over at DraftKings this morning. So fast starts are the absolute norm for the Eagles. They've scored first in 18 of their last 22 games. So coming to this one fresh and motivated. They've been off for a week and a half and have had that time to stew over criticism they've been receiving in the media for not looking as sharp as last year's team, despite being 2-0. And Tampa Bay has scored just 6 first quarter points all season, a field goal in each game. This matches up pretty good with the Eagles, who haven't allowed a first quarter point yet this season. So give me the Eagles to cover the first quarter spread. J-Lo, you like a full spread bet for this game. What do you got?
Yeah, I'll piggyback off your first quarter thing. And that's why the Eagles are so dangerous, is because they get out to quick starts. And then it changes the game plan for the other team. So you have an offense that has to pass the ball a lot, abandon the run, plays right into the teeth of this pass rush that can get great pressure with just the front four and then this secondary, very, very opportunistic secondary. So I took Eagles minus 5 here. I do not get the line. I liked Eagles minus 6. I liked Eagles minus 6.5. I like it at minus 5.5. Eagles minus 5, sure, why not? My power ratings here are way, way higher on Philadelphia. I'm talking, they're spitting out like a double-digit line for this one. And so I may even go back and play the alternative. I see anything under 6 here as a gift. And like you said, Philly has not played its best football yet completely, but it did have that mini bye after playing in Minnesota and getting to kind of tighten the screws on this team. And I don't think they need to play perfectly. They're the best two-way team in football. If something fails, there's always a fail safe. Jalen Hurts has a bad game. He can always run it out. The defense can bail them out. The offense, the passing game, everything. And when it is clicking, this is the best team in football by far. To quote Ricky Bobby from the great Talladega Nights, Tampa Bay's two wins aren't worth a velvet painting of a whale and a dolphin getting it on, because you've got the Vikings and the Bears, 2-0-3 teams, and they shouldn't have won the Philly or the Minnesota game, but it did. It happened. I'm not buying in the validity of this Tampa Bay team here. So, and sure, you look back and you say, well, you know, the Bucs defense 2 years ago, they had Jalen Hurts' number and they did a good job. Jalen Hurts is a far different player than he was 2 years ago. And that Tampa Bay team also had Tom Brady in the offense.
Yes.
They dominated time of possession in those games as well, too. These are very, very different teams. And I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop on Baker Mayfield. And if it's something where the Eagles do get off to a quick start, like you said, then you're throwing a lot with Baker. Not always the best situation here. Sure, you look at his grades so far. Good under pressure, good under the blitz. Routinely for his career, terrible under pressure. And I think the Eagles are going to get it done here tonight. So give me Eagles -5. It's a gift from the gambling gods. And poo-poo the trap line, people, because this is not a trap line. This is just a bad number.
Yeah, we have Luke Murphy in the live chat saying, isn't that line fishy? Beware of fishy lines. Do not get trapped by thinking it was a trap. I had people yesterday telling me the Dolphins fishy -6.5 was a trap. A fishy line. It goes on to 6. How did that go? No. They won by 50 goddamn points. Okay, let's keep on rolling here with the picks. And we have more support for the Eagles with a trip to Prop City. I'm going to take A.J. Brown over 67.5 receiving yards, coming in with odds of -110. So the production is coming for Brown. A slightly underwhelming start, sure, but he still leads the team in targets, and he could get more. Of course, we saw him barking at Jalen Hurts on the sideline, so don't be surprised to see him get fed tonight. And it might just take a few catches to go over this number, because Tampa Bay is allowing 15 yards per reception to wide receivers. That is the fifth most in the NFL. Other number one receivers in Justin Jefferson and DJ Moore both crossed 100 receiving yards against the Bucs. And here's the thing. Brown just needs to be average. He averaged 88 receiving yards per game last season. And this looks like a very favorable spot for him tonight. So give me A.J. Brown to go over his receiving yard total tonight. Let's shift gears here. A lot of question marks for this game. Rams in Cincinnati. Latest news, it's trending in the right direction for Joe Burrow to play. But we're being maybe a little bit more strategic with our picks here, J-Lo. You can get us started. What's your best bet for Rams and Bengals?
Yeah, and like you said, what the spread was, it was flirting 1.5, 2 most of the weekend. Now we're seeing 3s. But for this one, I'm going to stick with the Rams and what's working for the Rams. And that's running back Kieran Williams. This is a guy who found the end zone twice against the 49ers. I like him to find the end zone again here on Monday Night Football. Paying out +115 right now. Like I said, he scored a rushing and receiving touchdown against the 49ers. So this is a guy who can score in different ways. And now he is the feature back on this team. Cam Akers finally gets cast off, and he's the number one running back. And Sean McVay saying that, just gushing about how strong Williams has been, how much trust they have in Williams, and the fact that they need to find more ways to get him involved in the offense. And I like what I hear here, especially against a Cincinnati defense that has been really bad against the run. Los Angeles not missing many shots inside the red zone either. They are 5 for 6 on touchdowns inside the red zone. We look at the Bengals defense, like I said, getting beat up by the run. They've also getting beat up in the red zone. They've allowed 5 touchdowns on 7 red zone stands so far. And then the player projections for Williams as well, too, all leaning towards at least one touchdown here on Monday. And because he can run and because he can catch, that's why we're seeing this number up there. We're seeing as high as 0.9 in terms of touchdown forecast out there at some models right now. And where you can get them at plus money, some places have them, a short vig on them, like -105, -110 to score a touchdown anytime. But if you shop around, you can find +115 out there. So I like I said, he's a guy that can find it in multiple different ways, and Sean McVay love him.
Okay, breaking news per Adam Schefter, maybe not a total shock that Mike Williams torn ACL out for the season. Tough break there for the Chargers, who we will discuss momentarily here in the program. But one more bet to go. I like the Rams to go over their team total 20.5, -110 over at DraftKings. This morning, borderline disrespectful, this number here. A very impressive start for the Rams offense. This isn't the 2022 Rams. People, look at what they've done so far this season. 30 points scored in their season opener and 23 scored versus the 49ers, who are perhaps the best defense in the NFL. Matthew Stafford off to a good start. He's top 300 passing yards in both games so far. LA, number one in both third down conversion percentage and red zone touchdown conversion percentage. The Bengals struggling in both of those areas, bottom 7 in third down and red zone defense. They also rank 27th in yards allowed per rush attempt. And this one sets up very nicely for Matthew Stafford versus a weak pass rush. Bengals generating the third lowest pressure despite blitzing at a fairly high percentage. The Rams allowing the fourth lowest pressure, just one sack allowed. So I think that the Rams can get to at least 21 points tonight in Cincinnati. Okay, so there you have it, our five best bets for the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Brad Powers coming up in about 10 minutes. But J-Lo, let's kick around a couple of topics here, a couple segments that we've been doing so far on the show. Let's keep them rolling. We're going to start with futures bets to make today. These are futures bets that we recommend placing today. I'll hit leadoff. And the futures bet that I recommend placing today, over at FanDuel, you can take the New York Jets to go under 6.5 wins at minus 142. At other sports books, it's around minus 160. Now, I understand tying up your money for 4 or 5 months for a minus 142 bet might not appeal to everyone out there, especially if you're only betting $25, $50. But if you're a futures better, this is one to consider. So they already have one win. They need 6 wins to go over this. You take a look at their remaining schedule. It is kind of hard to find 6 wins, winnable games that they can be competitive in at home. They have Atlanta, Houston, and Washington. They're on the road versus Denver, the Giants, Raiders, and Patriots. What's the best case scenario? They win half of those games. They also have KC coming up this week, Philly, the Chargers. They're in Buffalo, at Cleveland, and they got the Dolphins twice. So you can do the whole game where you go through the schedule, you pick one there that they'll win, you pick one that they lose. But here's the thing, there's no salvaging this. The success of this team was 100% tied to Aaron Rodgers. Everything was built around Aaron Rodgers, and there's not a quarterback who's going to come in to save the day. People throwing the name Kirk Cousins out there. Have you heard of the salary cap? Look into it. It's not going to happen. Even if they brought Cousins in, what do you think? Right off the bat, 4 days on the team, he's just going to start lighting it up. All of a sudden, the best free agent quarterbacks out there are probably Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan. Those guys are not the answer. And here's the thing. Robert Saleh said that Zach Wilson is remaining the starter. And, you know, it's beating a dead horse at this point here, guys. I'm not going to read off the stats for Zach Wilson, but he's clearly not the answer. I don't know if this guy's going to be in the league in a couple of years. Zach Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, this is not an exaggeration. They might be the worst starting quarterback offensive coordinator pairing in NFL history. They've generated 3 offensive touchdowns in 3 games this season. It's a disaster. The Jets aren't getting to 7 wins. So futures bet to place today, Jets under 6.5 wins, minus 142. J-Lo, what futures bet do you recommend placing today?
Sure. And this price may go up now with the Mike Williams news, but I'm not bailing on the Chargers just yet. I think there's value in them to make the playoffs. It's out there. Yes, they make the playoffs plus 136. It's lower at some other places as well, too, and then off the board at a lot of other places here. But this isn't so much a bet on the Bolts as it is kind of a bet against the rest of the AFC. And if we look at kind of the standings right now, you see teams like the Colts and the Steelers up there. And I don't expect those teams to stay at the top of the AFC standings, considering, you know, 2-1, not great teams. The Chargers, they break through. They get the monkey off their back there with the win in Minnesota, or maybe the loss by the Vikings. Let's just say that, a loss by the Vikings. And then they're home to Vegas this week, which is not going to be an easy game. It's a divisional game. And I touched on this in my spot bet article, which is on covers.com right now. But then they have an early bye in week 5. And generally early buys, you can say, this isn't a great spot for them. More middle of the season. This is an excellent time to have a bye for them. Perfectly timed to heal up. Perfectly timed to try to figure out something with Williams out and maybe bring in another receiver. Kellen Moore, a really good offensive coordinator. We're seeing that. This team is putting up a lot of points. And then you can tighten the screws or tighten the bolts on the bolts during that time. And then they've got 2 tough games right out of the break. You got versus Dallas at home, then you're at KC, but then the schedule is a little softer from there. And any of their kind of tougher competition, they play at home. So they have Detroit at home, Baltimore at home, Buffalo at home. They finish off the season with Kansas City at home. And I'm a big fan of situational angles and trying to find these like back-to-back road games and 3 and 4 road games in 4 weeks type thing. There's nothing like that for the Chargers. Their schedule is set up pretty well. So I think there's value in this team, especially with you still have Justin Herbert as your quarterback. There's still some good players on this defense. I think the week 5 bye is going to be a benefit for them big time. And I think things will kind of restore, order will be restored in the AFC, especially the AFC West. I mean, we see the Raiders, terrible. The Broncos, terrible. The door is open for the Chargers to go ahead and at least finish second and flirt with a wild card spot in that division.
Okay, so J-Lo high on the Chargers, which brings us to our next segment. Do they actually suck? The first time around, we took a look at the New York Giants. They are now 0-3. I think they do actually suck. They got one.
Don't forget the comeback.
Oh, yes. My bad. Yeah.
The miracle comeback, which might as well be a loss if you chalk it up there.
So. Yeah. We will count that one, but I do think the Giants actually suck. Last week, I discussed the Chargers in this segment. J-Lo clearly doesn't agree based on his recommendation that they'll get into the playoffs, so the jury's still out on that. But this week, in this week's edition of Do They Actually Suck, let's take a look at Broncos head coach Sean Payton. And I think that there is a case here that Sean Payton actually sucks. Now, I've always been of the opinion that Sean Payton is a wildly overrated head coach who is dining out on a Super Bowl win from way back in 2009. What has he done since then? Well, he's been a good coach during the regular season, no doubt about it. A lot of winning seasons in New Orleans there. But since then, gets into the playoffs, and he massively underperforms. This is a guy who is dining out on his reputation, and he has done an absolutely atrocious job of getting this team ready for the 2023 football season. Look at the first 2 weeks at home as a favorite. You lose to the awful Las Vegas Raiders. You lose to the awful Commanders. Then an incredible desperation spot where, hey, if you don't win the game, no big deal, but you should be ready to compete. You allow 70 points and you lose by 50.
In an obvious trap spot too, right?
Oh my God, yes. People, you want to blame Russell Wilson? Cut the crap. You cannot blame Russell Wilson for this. You expect him to score 71 points yesterday?
No.
Russell Wilson hasn't been fantastic, but this is not his fault. It is the fault of Sean Payton, whose defense, like the defense is not the fault of Russell Wilson. They allowed 35 points to a Commanders team in week two that scored 3 points on their home field yesterday. So the problems of the Broncos are much bigger than Russell Wilson. So I think maybe second time around, maybe there's a chance Sean Payton doesn't have it. J-Lo, what do you think? Does Sean Payton actually suck?
I'm going to say offensively, and that's his MO is the offense. I'm going to say offensively, no, they don't suck quite yet. Middle of the pack right now on a lot of the advanced stats, EPA, DVOA, all those fancy numbers. Kind of middle of the pack, a massive turnaround from what we saw last season. So maybe that's a low bar to get over. But defensively, and defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, now he's under fire. They're calling for his job. You give up 70 points. We have to remember, when you and I talked about this on the podcast last week, he wasn't their first overall choice. Vic Fangio, the Dolphins defensive coordinator, he was Sean Payton's number one choice. He passed, he went to Miami, and they had to settle and bring back Vance Joseph, who, you know, got run out of town for not being a good enough head coach for the Broncos. It's 3 weeks in, so maybe it's a little quick to start firing people, but we look at last year, the Broncos were in the same spot with Nathaniel Hackett as the head coach, people calling for his resignation or his job, and they rode it out and they suffered it. And it cost them. It cost them an entire season. So if you're going to make a move on the defensive side, do it right now, because you've got the Bears this week, a team that is just can't stay out of its own way, and then you have the Jets, an offense that is a pop gun offense. Who knows who will be the quarterback by the time they roll around? You can fire him, get another to promote the defensive coordinator from within, send that message across the team. Maybe it sparks them. That's the time to do it, because you're facing two weak offensive opponents, because then you play Kansas City in two of the next 3 weeks, including a short week on Thursday Night Football. You have Green Bay at home in between that spot as well, too. And so, if they are going to make a move defensively, you got to do it. I don't think Sean Payton sucks. I think the guys that he brought in, I don't think the talent in the roster is not very good. And I don't think the coaching staff that he brought in is any good. So I'll say they suck. I'm not ready to say Sean Payton sucks yet. This guy is an offensive mastermind, a great game planner. What he's doing with this offense right now, pretty good. I'm not going to say he sucks right yet.
Yeah, Broncos versus Bears coming up in week four. So that should be an interesting one. The thing that pisses me off about the whole Sean Payton thing is it's probably other people. After the game, Colin Cowherd releases some weird statement making some narrative about how this is Sean Payton versus Russell Wilson. Terry Bradshaw and the Fox post game is going on about how Sean Payton doesn't have his quarterback. Guys, they allowed 70 points. It's not the fault of Russell Wilson. Okay, J-Lo, let's take a look at some week four lines that stand out to us. Of course, you do a great article for us over at covers.com. A few that stand out to me, bets I haven't placed yet, but I kind of like the Lions favored by 1.5 versus Green Bay. Ravens to bounce back +2 versus the Browns. And we'll see what happens tonight. But Bucks Saints under 40.5 looks like a beautiful spot to me. What do you have on your radar for week four?
I think everything involving the Saints right now, especially with the quarterback situation going on there, that you kind of have to consider the under. So if you read the, as you alluded to, I do the Bet Now, Bet Later article on Sunday nights. My bet now was Kansas City -9. I said, get it now before the public and all the Swifties show up. Because we're seeing this one at 9.5, Pinnacle at 10. You can still, I think we said 9 was at DK right now. You got to get it under that key number. I mean, we know what the Kansas City offense can do. But it's the Kansas City defense that really has me impressed. This defense has always kind of been slow going. And now you've got this team with Super Bowl experience, a young group. But you have guys like veteran guys, Chris Jones setting the tone. Spags has this defense looking really, really good. And that's a scary two-way team. So I do like the Chiefs -9. And then I did bet in this one. This one has moved a bit, so I don't think the number is out there anymore. But Monday Night Football has Seattle at the Giants. We have two just dreadful defenses. And I think the Giants will be able to, you know, they kind of get that mini bye to figure out some stuff on offense without Saquon. They had a short turnaround to play San Francisco last week. Seattle can put up the points. This one opened 44.5. I bet the over 44.5. It's now up as high as 46.5. So for Monday Night Football. So those are two bets that I have in already. You mentioned the Baltimore, Cleveland. You got to keep an eye on the injuries there for Baltimore. Basically 2 weeks without a ton of starters. They might get some bodies back as well too. That was my bet later line. I said, like, wait it out and see if this goes to 3, because I think that Colts loss is going to put a bad taste in everyone's mouth and everyone's going to be raving about both the Cleveland defense and what Watson did and all that, but against the Titans defense, that is just wretched. So that, and it's also AFC North football, so I think it's going to be a little closer. So if a 3 pops up there, I'm considering Baltimore.
Yes, sir. All right, man, before we let you out the door, what else do you have going on over at Covers this week that people can check out?
Ooh, well, back at it with the NFL underdogs column. I'm now, 6-3 through 3 weeks for the NFL underdogs column, which is pretty good. I have my NFL power ratings coming out tomorrow. Those have been doing pretty well. Just raw spreads have been doing great at projecting, potential lines. And then if you follow those, it's been doing all right. And then, you know, a whole series of game previews getting you ready for what is it, week four already? Madness, man. Madness, week four.
We are flying. The Super Bowl will be here before we know it. Hopefully the Miami Dolphins will be playing in the big game, maybe against your Dallas Cowboys if they can figure out how to win as a 12.5 point favorite.
this is full of vodka this morning, by the way.
Yes, sir. That is the way to do it. I don't blame you. With that, J-Lo, we'll let you get back to work. Thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck tonight, and we'll catch you next Monday.
All right. Thanks for having me, Joe. Good luck.
Yes, sir. All right, let's shift gears here to college football. Let's bring our guy, Brad Powers, down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, how are you making out today?
Doing well. Good to see. I got to admit, I love seeing that Dolphins gear. If you're a certain age, I think a lot of people gravitated towards the Dolphins, especially those old school, that old school color and logo combination. For the life of me, I can't believe that they don't go back to that permanently.
Yeah, some of the best throwbacks in the NFL. I don't know why. I often tell people I don't know why I picked the Miami Dolphins as a team to cheer for, but they're in Miami.
Dan Marino?
Now. Maybe some people point to the Ace Ventura connection.
I like that.
But I'm having the time of my life cheering for the Dolphins. But I know from last year, which was a total roller coaster ride, it got very dark due to the Tua concussions that it can all fall apart. So I'm not going to get too high just yet. So we'll give that some more time to breathe. But a handful of or two college football picks to get in here to Brad, and a couple questions on the back end. And one right now, any big takeaways from this past weekend of the college football action?
I think the biggest one would be a missed opportunity for Notre Dame to get a signature win from Marcus Freeman. You know, a quality spot for them to move up the championship future board. Sam Hartman Heisman futures, you know, took a massive hurting from that performance. Just it was there for the taking. They didn't make a play at the end. Kudos for Ohio State on the road to win that last second thrilling finish. And that would probably be one. The other one, you know, Florida State didn't play their best game, weren't the healthiest, but they somehow found a way to win a big road game against Clemson. So that's two big wins for them. They can, I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule, they're going to be significant favorites. So the big win for them, because I don't see a lot of resistance for Florida State down the rest of the path. So that would probably be the two biggest ones.
I think it's fair to say Notre Dame a bit overrated as a football program based on their history.
That's a good question. I mean, I think they're probably the last few years properly rated. They beat the teams for the most part. I mean, outside of they had a couple of hiccups last year, but they beat the teams they should. They just never win the big games. So yeah, and that's the ones that everyone watches, but they're typically an underdog in all those games. And, you know, they're a 3-point dog on Saturday night, lost by three. So they're actually been pretty consistent over the last 5-6 years. Now, over the last 30 years, I mean, they just don't win any of these big games. I mean, their record in top 10 matchups is now 4-20 the last 30 years when both teams are ranked in the top 10. So, yeah, when they play a very high-quality opponent, hasn't bode well for Notre Dame here recently.
4-20. Wow. Not good. It's okay, rough. So
that's Purdue, not Notre Dame.
Yeah, so, okay, so a couple of picks here, then a few more questions. So a duo on your radar to jump on right now, Syracuse taking on Clemson. We have a 7-point spread for this one now. What do you think for this game?
Yeah, a couple factors. Number one, I'm worried about what we call in the industry the dream crusher. What does that mean? It means that Clemson's path to the national championship is no longer there. How does a program handle this situation? That has not been the case for this program in quite some time, already out of the national title race here in the month of September. I mean, you got to go back a decade at this point. It was a very emotional game, went to overtime. You lost it. You have two losses now. How do you bounce back? And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going up to the Carrier Dome. It used to be called the Carrier Dome, but that's what it's been known for 40 years. But you're going up to Syracuse, a Syracuse team that has played Clemson very tough. The last 6 years, Syracuse has one outright win as a major dog. They have three other games where they played Clemson within one possession. And I'm here to tell you, this year's Clemson team isn't as good as those previous 5-6 Clemson teams. And this year's Syracuse team might be better than those previous 5-6 Syracuse teams that has given Clemson a lot of difficulty. I think it's a hyped up atmosphere there, even with a noon start. Let's go ahead and take the orange plus 7. And I am confident enough here. Let's sprinkle a little bit on the money line here on Syracuse.
Yes, sir. All right. Upset alert. Next up, LSU Ole Miss. We have a short spread here, 2.5 points. Who do you think comes out on top here?
Yeah, we're going to lay the 2.5 with LSU. You know, had a near upset loss last week against Arkansas. It might have been a wake-up call for them. But it's more of a play against Ole Miss. I haven't really liked what I've seen from Ole Miss all season. That's saying something considering that they've covered 3 of their 4 games. But a lot of phony finals. Let's start with Tulane. That was a 20-17 ball game in the middle of the fourth quarter against a Tulane team playing with their backup quarterback. Easily could have been a loss. Looks like a great final with Ole Miss winning by 17. Against Georgia Tech, middle of the fourth quarter, it's a 10-point game. Final says Ole Miss won by 25. A little bit misleading there. And then last week in the second half, Alabama dominated them. A game that a lot of people thought Ole Miss might have a chance to beat Alabama outright and look good in the first half. But the reality is that was a very physical game. Jackson Dart, the quarterback for Ole Miss, took a lot of heavy shots. And I just wonder, can he bounce back after a very physical game and be 100%? I don't think that's the case here. Let's lay under a field goal here with the Tigers.
Okay, two to jump on right away. Of course, Brad will be back with us on Thursday to break down the big games. But a few more topics I want to touch on here, Brad. Heisman futures. Caleb Williams now has some company at the top of the odds board. Penix Jr., tied with Williams on the odds board at DraftKings. He's actually ahead of him over at FanDuel. So my question to you, Caleb Williams has been the favorite basically forever, as far as I know. He can be had at plus 420 over at FanDuel. You think it's a good time to jump on him right now, or is it Penix Jr.'s award to win?
I'll put it in this way. I made 10 Heisman bets over the summer, 10 different quarterbacks. I didn't, not one of them was Caleb Williams. I think generally speaking, people are looking for a reason not to give someone the Heisman back-to-back years. It's only happened one time in the history of the award. So I wasn't big, you know, this was nothing knock against Caleb Williams' ability or USC's. It's just people like storylines. So that's what you're handicapping with the Heisman. People, and we've already seen the story with Caleb Williams. That's why he won the Heisman last year. So I don't disagree with the move. In fact, Washington, you look at them as a team, I think they're a little bit better than USC. Now they have to go on the road later down the line and play USC, so we'll see what happens there. But right now, I think Michael Penix deserves to be the favorite. You look at QBR, number one in the country. You look at the passing stats, number one in the country. This is a very pass-friendly offense. They'll continue to put up big numbers, and we'll see. A couple weeks down the road, there'll be a big game against Oregon, Washington hosting Oregon. Bo Nix, another Heisman contender. Right now, that one's in Washington, in Seattle. I favor Washington in that game. And then, I mean, if Washington takes care of business, I mean, we might be seeing Michael Penix odds even shorten considerably even after that.
Wow. Okay, so let's wrap things up with a betting advice question. Of course, we're big proponents of jumping on some lines early. Often advise don't be getting all your bets in for college football on Saturday morning. So what advice would you give to novice sports bettors, especially when it comes to getting your bets in earlier in the week?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It might be the question in the industry because the market tends to move quicker and quicker with each year. I would say, first and foremost, have a good set of power ratings if you want to jump early on in the process. What do I mean by a good set? One that usually, you know, is relatively close to market, predicts line moves. Where can you find those? I think there's some free ones out there that are basic, decent quality. Jeff Sagarin, that was, you know, back part of the BCS process, if you can remember that, if you're an old timer, 25 years ago, all through that time during college football. Bill Connolly does a really good job for ESPN. He has his SP Plus power ratings. I publish a set of power ratings. So having a good set of power ratings, if you don't want to do it yourself, would be step one. Step two, this sounds really basic, but man, the market's not too complicated. I mean, this time of year, we have teams that have covered every single game at this point or have failed to cover every single game at this point. You tend not to overthink things, and something's mispriced in the marketplace. So if you want to get in front of some line moves, generally, if a team's covered every single game up until this point, they're likely to get bet on, not against, for the upcoming week. Similarly, on the other side, if a team hasn't covered a point spread, Vanderbilt's 0-5 against the number. What do we see in the marketplace already in the first 24 hours since the lines have been released? Well, their opponent this week, Missouri, is taking money in the marketplace. So don't overthink things. Keep it simple. Just find your teams that are really good against the spread or are bad. And typically we see the market until the losses pile up or wins pile up for teams that haven't covered, we see the market continue to price those teams. They get a little bit more expensive as the week goes on, if that makes sense.
Yes, sir. Okay, some wise words from Brad there. So make sure you follow that advice and maybe hit a couple more winners this weekend with the, your college football picks. Okay, Brad, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll catch you again on Thursday when we take a look at some of the bigger games on the Week 5 college football schedule.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. That is the man right there. Make sure you follow him on social media. Make sure you follow his advice. So a quick recap of our Monday Night Football bets. If you're just tuning in, my best bets, Eagles first quarter, minus half a point, plus 105. They get off to very fast starts. The Bucs do not. I like A.J. Brown to potentially light it up, at least go over his receiving yard total of 67.5 yards. And I like the Rams to go over their team total 20.5 points. Disrespectful number. And J-Lo, he gave out Eagles minus 5 and Williams anytime touchdown plus 115. Okay, let's leave it at this, guys. I like to stick up for people who the masses like to turn into punching bags, and I'm guilty of this one as well. So how about a little bit of respect for Jonathan Gannon and the Arizona Cardinals, who are maybe the biggest punching bag coming into the season, and I am guilty of beating up on them as well. We all assumed that they were tanking coming into this season. I'm not going to make a case for them competing for a playoff spot. We all made fun of Jonathan Gannon because of a couple clips that came out on social media. And a lot of people go into these games, their handicaps, and they're holding the whole tanking narrative above them. But guess what? They're 3-0 against the spread. So maybe a little bit of a lesson there for us bettors to keep in mind in the future. Cardinals playing very competitive football. So props to Jonathan Gannon. Props to them. Props to you for watching the show. If you like it, it's very easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right down there. We have our fancy subscribe graphic right over there. If you like all the content we do here at Covers, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're going to have previews for every single NFL game this week, some college football content. We're all over the UFC coming off of a winning night with the cards that just took place over the weekend. So a lot of winning bets here on the Covers YouTube channel. So make sure you are subscribed. That does it for the Monday edition. Before you bet, best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you next time. Woo!